Hello and welcome. Ronnie's Own Media and RonnieZone.com proudly present the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast. This is an unofficial podcast dedicated to the ABC TV show Once Upon a Time. Your hosts are Jeff and Colleen Roney from Orange County, California. And now, on with the show.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast Feedback and More episode. This is number 3, I think.
Yeah, I think it is.
So, we do this because we get some great emails, and maybe there's some extra things that we don't cover in the regular show, so that's why we do this show. We do have a couple of emails, and I wonder if you wouldn't mind reading yours first.
Okay, but before we do that, do you think maybe we want to say who we are?
Okay.
Just because in case somebody's new and this is the episode they listen to.
I'm still Jeff Roney.
Great.
Your host. And the other host is?
Well, that'd be me, Colleen Roney.
Okay.
I just thought it'd be nice because you never know. Somebody might start with this episode.
Okay, yeah. We're a married couple from Orange County, California.
Yes.
I'm a Virgo. I like long walks on the beach. And you?
Yeah.
All right.
Anyway.
So
I'm a Libra in case anybody really cares. I also enjoy walks on the beach, but we don't go there very often. We're not that close to the beach. We're closer to Disneyland, actually.
True. We may talk about that in a little bit.
Okay.
So yes, we are your pilot and co-pilot of this plane called the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast. It is a very cool thing that we're doing, and we're glad that you're along for the ride.
Yes, we are.
So.
Oh, so you want me to start with the email now?
Sure.
Oh, okay. I didn't know you had more to say.
No.
Okie dokie.
Not yet.
Okay. Well, the first one we got that I'm reading is from Malini, and she talks about a theory that she says, I don't know if this is crazy or not, but here it is. She is thinking that Ruth, who happens to be James's mother, is maybe the younger version of Granny. And here's why she thinks it's possible. She says that even though they're played by different actresses, both of them look very similar features-wise. So, and she brought a picture, or sent a picture, and they do have very similar features. They look like they could be related somehow. And then she says the plan was James could never see her again on the risk that the king would kill her, but the king can't live forever and he might have taken her along with Red Riding Hood after King George died. So the Red Riding Hood plot, since she was alone after James left, maybe Red Riding Hood stumbled upon the woods, got lost, and this lonely woman helped her, and they developed this relationship. And then in the pilot episode, Granny was in the warrior table discussing strategy with James and everyone else. What's her purpose of being there? I mean, she definitely will not battle against the queen. She was probably there because she has a connection to either James or Snow. Plus, she was knitting, which appears to me like it was Emma's blanket. So, exactly something a grandma would do for her grandchild. So, and with a plot like this, James could have been married to Abigail for 10 years or more before something happened and he married Snow, which could explain the age progression. So, she's saying, look, I know they're hair colors are different, but something tells me this is a possibility. She tried to rewatch all the scenes to look for clues about them being the same person, like, you know, the jewelry that Ruth was wearing and Rob and objects around them, but she couldn't find anything else. So she's recognizing that might be just overthinking this whole thing, but she's going to go with this theory unless she said that sees otherwise. So,
well, that's pretty solid. I noticed that she was knitting, but knitting Emma's blanket. That's pretty cool.
Now that I didn't catch either.
Yeah,
I really didn't catch that either. In fact, I vaguely remember her being at the round table in the first place.
Yeah, she was.
So now I'm going to go back to what I said last time, which is that when knowing these writers, they don't use different actresses for the same character. I can't subscribe to that theory. It's a good theory, got some solid points behind it. And I can see why that would maybe be a possibility, but they haven't done it so far, and I just don't know why they would do it, you know, with this one instance.
I looked at the pictures and I did notice a similarity. So,
And here's where I'm going to go with this. I don't necessarily think they're the same person, but what if they're sisters?
Okay.
What if they're somehow related?
Okay.
Right. What if Ruth is actually Granny's mother, sister, cousin? I'm just saying, they look like they could be related. I don't think they're the same person. That's just me. Yeah, but I think there's a really interesting points to that.
Right.
And I love the fact she brought up the whole knitting, Emma's blanket, which would not have, didn't pop in my head.
So there's two things we could do with this. Granny could be like the granny of all, right? Sorry. Granny of all. Or she could be, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I still think it's Red Riding Hood's granny.
Okay.
I don't think she's granny of everybody. And was it
what I mean is like a namesake, like when there's a group of people and there's kind of an older lady around, she kind of everybody's.
I got that.
Okay. All right.
I think Granny really is truly Red Riding Hood's grandmother.
But just as a favor for Snow,
the thing. Was it really Granny that was sitting at the round table, or was it?
It was. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Then she was sitting down, and Red Riding Hood was behind her.
Okay. I don't know why, but obviously her story hasn't come up yet, so we'll have to see. I mean, Red's story hasn't really even come up yet. Mm-hmm. So I think we'll find that out. I do think, though, somehow she and Ruth are related. That's what I think we're going to find.
Okay.
That's just me. Because I agree. These actresses look very, very similar. I saw the picture. I totally agree with that, and I can totally see where you might mm-hmm. consider that. But I'm going back to what I know about the writers, and I've never seen them do this. Not to say that they can't, not to say that they won't, and I could be totally wrong. But I think we're going to see that they really are two separate characters, but that somehow they're related to each other.
That's what the fun of this show is, mm-hmm. is that even though you may follow a certain path and say this. It's not necessarily that you're right or maybe not right. It's kind of fun to throw your hat in the ring, say, sure. I think Sheriff Graham is the huntsman, or I think Sheriff Graham is a big bad wolf because of this, and that's it. And it's no good or bad. Maybe that you are correct or incorrect with what the story went. Because certain things can be a little bit of this and a little bit of that. It's fun to watch it play out.
It is. And that's the whole thing. That's why I like having this feedback, because it's a theory that I didn't think about. And I mean, I agree with it, but I honestly didn't even remember the fact or pay attention to the fact that Granny was at the round table. So that was actually really good, because then that does remind me of the fact that they're there. And then that spawns yet another theory. So, I mean, I think it's really good to have the feedback. And it's okay. It's okay to you know, not agree with us, too, by the way.
Sure. Thank you very much. And I wanted to, since we're kind of nudging toward this anyway, I wanted to get this out, because I don't think we've ever discussed this, is that James's mother, Ruth, correct?
That was what she said in the email. I didn't see that, but that doesn't mean anything, because I haven't looked her up. So they may have named her that.
Okay, James's mother mm-hmm. came up from the market, and she wanted to talk to
James
about the grain merchant's daughter.
Right.
The miller's daughter.
Right.
Okay. So I don't think we've discussed it before. If we have, sorry. But I have a sneaking suspicion that somehow the name Mills and the connection to Regina Mills may have something there.
Yeah, because we don't know when did she become queen.
Because
at this point, was she married to... See, we don't know what the timeline is right now.
Right, right.
We have no idea what the timeline is for James.
And because she wasn't initially the wife of Snow White's father anyway. Right. She was the stepmom.
Well, yeah.
Okay. So figure that in. Now, so let's talk about this. In the Rumpelstiltskin story, the other character is the miller's daughter.
Right.
So there is a possibility, a strong possibility, that the evil queen has a tie to Rumpelstiltskin somewhere.
Right. She may have been the one who figured out his name.
Okay. So, because
that's a fairy tale.
They seem to have a pretty tight connection.
Right.
And also, just the name Mills, I don't think is a coincidence
at all. No, I'm sure it's not.
And also the mention of the grain merchant. I didn't catch it initially, but as I was thinking about it, grain merchant, Miller. Okay.
Right.
So,
exactly.
So anyway, I wanted to kind of toss that out there and highlight that a little bit so you can kind of watch it. We also have an email from Gareth, who is the website creator of a really cool website called onceuponatimefans.co.uk. And it's a really cool...
I'm guessing he's from Britain.
Yes, absolutely.
It's awesome.
So anyhow, I'm going to read his email. Hi, Jeff and Colleen. Hi, Gareth. Love the latest podcast. I always look forward to it every week. It's normally watch the show, then I'm waiting for the podcast to hear your views, and you both make such a good team. Thank you. I love the banter you guys have. Anyway, loved your speculations and theories about Rumpelstiltskin. We think he is definitely the puppet master of the show. Mm-hmm. Also, being that this show seems to have law stamped all over it, it got me thinking about Sawyer's long cons. I would not be surprised if Rumpel was pulling the same type of long con. I think he foresaw that his capture was inevitable, and all the deals he had been making over the years are the little pieces he is putting into place in order to position himself to get his powers back or even overthrow the queen herself. Whatever he is up to, it is a long-term plan. Also, in episode 4, Regina asked Emma just what was it she found so interesting about Tallahassee. Is this a tip of the hat to Sawyer? I'm sure he came from Tallahassee or had a connection to it. Yes, I'm a Lost geek too. Thanks again for all the hard work. It is much appreciated. Thank you, Gareth, as well.
Yeah.
So, Tallahassee, I think, was a definite.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure because they made a big deal about that and Lost. So I'm sure it was very much a tip of the hat to him.
And for those who are new to Lost, there was a Lost episode called The Man from Tallahassee, which was about where Sawyer was from,
right,
and the backstory of
his backstory,
right. So, and he had a jerky stepfather.
Yes, he did.
Who fortunately killed his mom.
Right.
And he was hiding. Sawyer was hiding under the bed. And so the rest of his life, basically, he was looking for this man called Sawyer. And then there was a certain point in time soon after that he called himself Sawyer. Kind of as a, I don't know, how to deal with a difficulty.
Yeah.
So that's that. Now, let me talk about Rumpelstiltskin. I promised in the last show I was going to give my theory about him.
Hey there, check this. There's a number of ways that you can stay connected and interact with the show. Our main website address is onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our Twitter name is OUAT Podcast. We are on Facebook at facebook.com/OUAT Podcast. Our email address is oncepodcast@gmail.com. Our blog web address is at aclosserlookouat.ronizone.com. And our voicemail line phone number is 657-333-0626. Thank you for listening, connecting, and interacting with us. Now, back to the show.
What I saw in the little clip at the end of the last episode that we saw of Once Upon a Time was Rumpelstiltskin summoning something.
Right, or someone.
Or someone. Let's say it's some type of a dark power. Let's call it that, because we don't know exactly what it is.
We're assuming it's dark. We don't
know. Okay. He's in the dark with
doesn't mean it's dark.
Okay.
I'm just saying, not saying you're wrong.
This is one I think. I think that Rumpelstiltskin needed something. And in this case, I think it was magical power. And so he asked for it. He got it. But in trade for that was much more than he'd bargained for. And so, in effect, he is treating everybody else the way that he was treated initially. Because for some reason, he had to beseech this, whatever, for power to do something. Now, I'm going to be very clear. I have seen the other little sneak peeks, but they're not figuring into what I'm saying right now. All I'm discussing right now is the clip at the end of the show. Mm-hmm. Okay. And the things I've seen. So what I'm saying is he got rooked initially and now he's rooking everybody else. However, there is a possibility that he perhaps sees a way to redeem himself by actually helping other people. And Colleen, you had an idea that maybe a lot of these deals are actually good, even though to us they seem bad.
Right.
The one thing in Lost that really kind of always interested me is that the island, the mysterious island where everybody ended up on, a lot of people felt it was purgatory. It kind of seemed a lot of people to, that's what it was, people working out their mistakes.
Right.
And, you know, perhaps Rumpelstiltskin is trying to work out his issues either in the fairy tale land during a certain point before he was jailed, or maybe, I mean, after he was jailed.
Yeah.
And also Mr. Gold as well.
Well, honest to God, it reminds me of Wicked. And if nobody's seen the play, okay, Wicked, it's very much like what you would... That just turned everything on its ear for me, frankly. All the fairy tales. Because, again, it comes back to... And the premise of Wicked, just in case anybody doesn't know, is that the Wicked Witch of the West isn't really wicked at all. She was actually a very normal girl and was actually very smart and intelligent and had real actual powers where the rest of them didn't. And she ends up, because she's so misunderstood, she ends up having to kind of fake her own death, essentially, and make herself appear to be wicked when she's really not. Mm-hmm. So I think that's kind of what plays into this for me. My theory is that I think that a lot of what he's doing is not actually evil. It looks like it is, but it's not. And if you really want to go biblically speaking on this, sometimes what appears to be a bad thing happens and really good things come out of it.
Right.
And there's a ton of stories now, in the Bible where that happens.
To me, Rumpelstiltskin reminds me a bit of the Lucifer story in the Bible, in that he wanted the power for himself, and when he got it, it wasn't exactly what he intended. There was huge repercussions, huge changes. He was cast out of heaven. I mean, I don't want to go all biblical, but I mean, that's just kind of what I see, is there's a lot of changes involved in that choice to ask for something that you don't really know the full implications of what you're asking. But Colleen, you actually said that Rumpelstiltskin reminded you of Ben, mm-hmm, from Lost.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The kind of beat down number two in charge, never really in charge, but trying to make things happen. And
yeah. But then on the flip side, too, he also has a lot of qualities of Jacob, too. Hmm. Jacob, the keeper of the island.
Right.
The protector of the secret. The one who essentially gave people the freedom to choose things, but kind of, I don't want to say manipulated because that sounds bad, but he manipulated them into doing things so that they could follow the right path. I see a lot of that in Rumpelstiltskin too. Mm-hmm. He's manipulating people to do things. But again, everyone thinks that he's evil and, you know, bad. And I don't think I go there with that.
Fair enough. Fair enough. You know, We'll leave it at that. And the one more thing I do want to say is, if you're kind of new to Lost and maybe you never saw the show, that kind of a thing, there's a great couple of websites. There's a Lostopedia website that you can look up some of these names and look up, you know, the little things maybe that you mentioned, and you can get some photos and maybe some extra explanation and that kind of a thing.
Yeah, or so, do yourself a favor and rent the DVDs, or,
well,
you know, stream it on Netflix.
That's a lot of time.
And, well, I know it is, but I'm just saying, you know, if you're interested enough, it piques your interest enough. If you haven't watched it, check it out, because it's an amazing, amazing show. Start from the beginning and watch it, and you will be hooked. You will be hooked.
Yeah, sometimes the flash sideways in the later series kind of got to me, but anyways.
Anyway.
All right. So we also have this email from Bunny. So just want to say how great it was to find you on iTunes, and I subscribe to the podcast. You and Colleen do a great job of comparing to Lost and the recap of the story. Enjoy listening to your show, and you all have given me a lot of insight in the same. Keep up the great work, Bunny, in New York. And thank you, Bunny, so much.
Yeah, thanks for the nice encouragement. We like that.
I've been adding some things to the website at onceuponatimepodcast.com. And there's also the main one, which has the blog and the podcast. It's mainouat.roniezone.com. And I've added the text commentary. And what it basically is if I handed you some notes while you're watching, let's say, the pilot episode, and you can kind of flip through them at your leisure as you're watching the episode. And so where I kind of say, well, you know, notice this. This is going to come into play a little later. This is important to make a note of. Or this is the second time we see the Seven Dwarfs. The first time we saw the Seven Dwarfs were at Snow White's coffin. And then the second time we see them at the wedding of Snow White in the episode. So it's things like that that I think is going to be kind of a cool thing that we do here. And I will have a link in the show notes to where you can go to check that out. And it's just text, writing. I may put in some pictures and that kind of a thing. And I've also put in Obi's Girl on Twitter was awesome, awesome, awesome. And put together the Twitter chat that the majority of the major cast members have done. So the first one was for with Jennifer Goodwin. And so I'm making cast bio little pages. They're not exhaustive bios. No. But they're just kind of a snapshot where we could put their birthdays, their Twitter names. And then at the bottom there, the little Twitter chat that they did. So thanks, Obi's Girl. She's great. She did the podcast art that I'm using now. And on the website, the headers are randomly changing, so I add new pictures.
Very cool.
And stuff. So there's a Sheriff Graham and Emma kiss for the romantics out there.
Yay.
And Prince Charming.
Which, by the way, we really didn't talk about this, but I think we need to. Sheriff Watch has ended, I think.
Well, not necessarily.
Yeah, I think it has.
I don't know. For sure, we're probably going to see some flashbacks of the Huntsman.
I understand that, but I think Sheriff Watch kind of has to be done.
Well, I'm going to say let's put that in neutral for now.
Okay.
I'm
considering Prince Charming Watch.
Well, all right. We can do that as well.
And who knows? There may be another character we may want to do the watch for.
Well, yeah. There's new characters that I hear kind of rumbling around that are coming.
We don't know soon. Who some of these people are, so we might want to do a watch on them.
Okay. Very good. So thank you, thank you, thank you for your emails. Thank you for your post on the blog. And we really, really, really appreciate it. Keep it coming. And we are, in the next couple of days, going to record another normal episode there's some great voicemails that have come in. And I think the next episode, when we do regular episode, we'll talk about the rest of the sneak peeks, right?
Maybe.
Because that'll get us ready for...
No, because we have yet... We have this week's show, and then we have another one before the premiere again.
Okay.
So we have two more shows, technically, this week's and next week's. And then... So next week would be the sneak peeks. This week will be a whole other show, a regular show about just whatever we want to talk about.
Okay.
Plus all the voicemails.
So, yeah, we have some great voicemails, and we're still kind of tossing around kind of a different idea to do. I think we'll do one of them and just kind of see what you think.
Mm-hmm.
As we wrap it up, one more thing I do want to say is if you think you know what this show is about up to this point, you haven't seen anything yet. The stuff that I've got planned is really cool. So, and that's really what this show is, is we find what works, but then along the way, we'll try something different and see what people think. And if it works, we'll move forward. But I never just sit idly by and just say, well, we're just going to do the same thing for a year and a half.
No.
I'm always thinking. I'm always tweeting and asking. If you watch me, you can kind of figure out where I'm going. But there's some exciting things coming. 2012 is going to be something else.
Yeah, it is.
So, anyway, we want to thank you for listening, for being a part of this podcast fan family. It's really cool. All the people that are a part of it, some of the voicemails that are coming are people that called in a few shows ago. So it's nice to hear from folks again, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So
anyway,
okay. Well, we'll see you soon, and hope everybody had a wonderful holiday Christmassy season.
Right, or Hanukkah. Tonight is, I believe, the last night.
That's
of Hanukkah.
That's right.
So
I hope everybody had a wonderful Hanukkah.
Yep.
And we will talk to you soon.
All right.
See you.
Bye.
Bye.